Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are in the stretch run of the day. We will have Sam Levitt coming up here in about an hour to preview the next game between the Padres and the Blue Jays. But Tony, you're up in Canada. How's it going up there? Have you had any poutine yet? Because I've never had poutine, and I hear it's delicious.
No, I have not had any poutine, and don't plan on having any.
Oh, that's right. You're on Estee Fat Loss. You can't have poutine.
That is correct, my friend. Just berries and apples and occasional some protein here and there. But it's actually been nice. Today it's been rainy, though. It's been rainy pretty much all day. Gray skies. Won't matter for the game, obviously, because we have a roof. But I have come prepared. I feel good about it. Like, I have my big coat. I certainly came to Toronto not wanting to be surprised by some cold weather, and sure enough, some cold weather's here.
Really? I honestly didn't even look at the weather because I know that they can open the roof and close the roof and all that, but Toronto is getting some cold weather right now. At the end of May?
Yes, I walked back yesterday. It was quite chilly. It was in like the high 40s walking back yesterday.
Dang. Man, yeah. I had no idea. I thought Toronto was just, like, humid and hot during the summer. But, geez, high 40s. We haven't felt that in San Diego in forever. I got a question about
We're in the middle of, like, a little heat week, aren't we?
Yeah, it's pretty hot, actually. 85 degrees.
That's hot.
I walked the dogs this morning, and I went out a little bit too late. I went out at, like, 11 a.m., and I was cooking. The only good thing about it is that the dogs were cooking too, and so they wanted to go home.
Let's go home. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I got a question about your SD fat loss, though, because I never had to do this during my SD fat loss. But how are you traveling and staying on task with the SD fat loss?
It's hard. It's kind of expensive.
Yes.
I've had to do the, I did Uber Eats the first day to kind of make it work. It was tough during the game. I had to, like, figure it out because they didn't have nothing. I think I had an apple. I probably had to cheat a little bit because there was literally... I think my option was... what do you call the fake meat?
The fake meat?
Yes.
I don't know.
That was one of the options. There was another option that you didn't clearly see scans. What is it called?
I have no idea what the fake
Burger
meat
King.
Is.
Burger King did it.
Meat, Wonder.
Impossible.
It
basically an impossible version of a sausage next to some pulled pork. So I couldn't do really either of those two. Those were my protein options. So I instead went with a salad that had like a couple pieces of pasta, had two apples. Yeah, so I was starving, say the least, by the time I got to the hotel. And then I had to, you know, I was able to get some food that I could actually eat. But, it's hotel food. It's expensive, you know. Yeah. So I had to wear it.
Yeah. Now, you're sitting next to a guy for the next couple games, Bob Scanlon,
who I've heard
can eat like a horse. So
yes. he actually pointed out that there was some pulled pork, which I saw him take part in for sure. Yeah, a scan is a big dude, man. He's not eating for a small person. Let's just say that.
what about Dave Marcus? What does Dave Marcus eat on the road?
Dave played for the tie like most everybody does. Yesterday, he had his salad, but he also had his pasta and his pulled. Did you have pulled pork yesterday? Yeah, he had a little. He said he had a little pulled pork yesterday.
Well, eatsy weensy pulled pork.
As I said, he played for the tie. He got the tie.
Well, good for him, because I don't know that I could just go for a little eatsy weensy bit of pulled pork.
How about this? And so here's a quick little funny story. I definitely am not supposed to work out the way I normally work out, you know. But I kind of cheated a little bit. So I went in there this morning, and I I did a little, a half of what I normally do leg day. And, you know, what I was told was that, you know, you don't have any carbs in your system, man. You're going to notice it. You know, typical for an athlete. You think, I'll be all right. I'm not worried about it. I say after I finished the squat rack, I began to feel lightheaded. And so I had to start, like, taking... I had to wait till like my heart rate would come below like 130, and then I could have a get back to work. I had to do everything in about 6 reps today. So,
wow. Well, you know, we're making SC fat loss sound really hard. It's not as hard when you're not traveling.
That had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
SC fat, that's just me wanting to do what I'm not supposed to be doing right now.
Because you're an athlete and you want to go do some squats.
Well, I just want to not sit around and do nothing all day. But
yeah, that is another thing that I don't think people think about, because there's a lot of idle time on the road for players, and then for broadcasters, it's even more idle time.
I've been getting my gaming in, though. I've been on my... here's the other thing. Certain hotels have these little... I'm giving you guys all the little behind the curtain. Hotels have these kind of like... You can't plug your HDMI directly into TV. It's got to go into like another box, which is fine, except if you want to play video games, because then the game is slower. Like, you hit the button to swing, and the pitch is already blown by you. So I can't play baseball games at these type of hotels. Toronto happens to be one of these type of hotels. So I've been playing PGA Tour, 2K, PGA,
2K, whatever.
Yeah.
I have not played that game yet.
I've been getting my character up here. We're doing all right.
Okay, all right. Is it like MLB The Show, where you have like a road to the show where you have to like play different tournaments to get
you
to become a pro?
You got to go to Q school. You got to win
in
Q school. And then you get your PGA card, and then you can play in those tournaments.
Okay, I love this. Yeah. My MLB The Show guy is taking... I almost said a bad word. Forever to get to the major league level. Like, they're really making me work hard.
You don't need to play that game. Put it on rookie. Get in there. Get to the big leagues, and then change it to the setting that you want to have at that point.
Since we're talking video games, I also found that if you're a dual threat player in your road to the show, it takes you a lot longer because you got to be good at pitching and hitting. So
yeah, you can't suck at one and be good at the other.
No, I started over because I had to.
Tony,
I was in the minors for 4 years. Years.
time to pick.
Now I know why all the other players are like, I'm ready to be done with this sport of baseball, so I'm not going to make the major leagues.
Time to pack it in, especially if it's on road to the show. Like, in real life, okay, you can stick it out a little bit longer. But road to show, you need to be up in the big leagues before 4 years of playing. Alright, let's talk some Padre baseball.
Yes.
Obviously, we've been avoiding I said it after the game yesterday. Clearly, the offense has hit a little rough spot here. I think the Padres had a rough stretch earlier in the season, and that was mainly due to the bullpen. So now it seems like it's the offense's turn right now. They're going through what they're going through, and the last four games have been almost identical in how they have broken down. Padres with a few opportunities, they don't take advantage of it. A couple of mistakes on the pitching side lead to homers, and the Padres, you know, have struggled to string anything together, like anything together. They're getting their hits still, but they're scattered, and they're not in points where they are of consequence.
No, and it looks like they're frustrated, obviously. And when you look at pitching, 4 of the past 8 quality starts by Padres pitchers have come in games that the team has lost. So we're not losing games. They're not losing games because of pitching. But this is the big thing right now here in San Diego. They don't hit enough home runs. My thought on this is never going to hit a ton of home runs. This team is not designed around the home run. They play in a park, Petco Park, that does not give up a lot of home runs. Now, it stinks to see the other team hit a bunch of home runs at Petco Park when the Padres can't, but that's what we're talking about here today, is because the home run for the Padres has eluded them this year, But they still have won games. They still have put up runs. They still have put up a ton of hits. And I don't necessarily know how important a lot of home runs is to this team.
I mean, I think they finished somewhere in the middle of the pack last year, and that's where I expect them to finish at this year. I don't think this is going to stay this way. It certainly sticks out when the other team is beating you virtually off of home runs, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's what Seattle did. That's basically what happened last night. That's it certainly sticks out to you a lot more when it's happening. I still maintain that when the year's over, they'll be right in the middle of the pack. As you said, they were never going to be a team that hit a bunch of home runs. That's not how they've picked the guys they have decided to build around. That's not how they have been able to that's not what they developed in terms of Jackson, right? That's not something that's going to be a big part of their offense. Now, that being said, because they haven't hit as many, you know, they've probably got to be towards the bottom of the league during this point of the year. It's ended up costing them in some of these games that have had the homer feature. It's inevitable that if your team is not, if it's a noticeable thing to everybody that you're not hitting homers, it's going to come up in conversations, especially when you start losing ball games.
They're 26th in the league in home runs
so
right now.
They're right towards the bottom.
Yeah.
And so, as I said, I don't think that you can you can make an argument that maybe that's where the offense has started to kind of take a turn, because they might also notice that they don't have a lot of homers.
And so we got the pressing again.
So you know, this is kind of how it goes sometimes. I think they'll work. They'll get themselves out of it. And I think they'll get themselves out of it sooner rather than later. It's just right now the offense is going through what the bullpen went through, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. I mean, this is, as you guys have taught me over the many years that we've worked together, this is just how a baseball season goes. And the immediate reaction, even to me, but then I think about it and I put that reaction down, is you gotta mess with the lineup. You got to move guys around. You got to put Toddy at three. You got to put this guy there. You got to go there. I don't think that's necessarily the move to be made, but if it keeps going like this, they're going to have to do something.
If it keeps going like this, they'll definitely make a move. I mean, you know, remember Toddy hit, what, third last year? All year or second?
Second,
he wasn't,
I
leading
believe.
Off.
No.
Yeah, because Arraez was leading off.
And Profar.
Right?
That was
the new change when we got to the season. All of a sudden, Toddy was leading off, and Arraez was hitting second. I don't know. I think at some point, if it continues, you'll see Mike Shildt try to make a change and see if he can kickstart it. I don't know that he's there yet, though.
Oh,
maybe he is. There is no lineup up yet. Let me see if they got one up yet.
Okay, because
lineup is up, and yeah, he hasn't. He's not there yet. Like I said.
Now let's talk about left field. I said last Friday that left field's not losing the Padres games. No need to change left field right now. As long as you're getting good defense out of left field, then that's good enough for me. The defense, you know, they need a left fielder or a left field platoon. And so basically what I'm trying to ask without being a jerk is, when is it time for Jason Hayward?
Didn't we just discuss this like 2 days ago?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the same answer as it was 2 days ago. When Mike Shildt feels like it's time, that's when it'll be time. I think he is given a lock an opportunity to play left against lefties and righties. That's what they have right now.
That's basically where I'm at, where you're
that's
at.
That's where it's at.
There's no more to say about it.
Unless AJ Preller is making a move that has made a move, then, you know, I don't know that they got right now. This is what they're going to run out there. And so until that changes, that's what it is.
One of the things that bothers me most about people who give me their opinion on baseball is, number one, you don't know ball. Number two, it's like, well, just DFA him. Where are you going to get a guy who's ready to go? Like, are you going to get that guy? Well, who's going to replace that guy?
It's not that they can't get somebody that is of equal value or talent in terms of production, because they probably can. But, you know, it's going to be the same thing. It ain't going to be more or better unless they go out and make a move. And I don't think here in May that they're there yet, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't or that they can't. I'm just saying I don't know that they're ready to make that type of change just yet.
All right, let's go back to last night. We're fitting in a lot because Tony has some stuff to do down there, down up there in Toronto. But Dylan Cease, really good last night. He gave up. He said the only thing that he regret was the slider to Santander later in the game, which put him up 3-0. But Dylan Cease has been pitching really, really well as of late. And so we don't need to be worried about Dylan Cease anymore and what's going on. We know what he's going to give us in a start. And his slider has been awesome as of late. Kevin Acey put up a whole graph about it. And last night, there was only one hit out of 15 at-bats when someone swung at the slider. He's 4-for-40 in the last three games with hits on the slider. So Dylan Cease is what we thought he was. So anybody out there saying that Dylan Cease is a problem, I have a problem with you.
Who was saying that? That's not real. Nobody was
just
saying
those
that.
People. You know those people, as Chris calls them.
I don't know
you
those people.
People.
Who are these people that you're talking about?
The trolls. The trolls out there thinking that everything's always going to be bad, but Dylan Cease was good. He's keeping them in games. I have zero issues with Dylan Cease.
Yeah, no, there's no problem with the pitching. The problem right now is the offense. And as I said, I think they'll get it going. I hope it's tonight. It might not be, though. It might be tomorrow. We'll see. We will definitely see.
Last thing before we let you go. Randy Vasquez versus Kevin Gausman tonight. Blue Jays fans, I went into a whole Reddit hole about Kevin Gausman. They want to DFA him right now. I know. It's not just us, Tony. Blue Jays fans. But I believe that Randy Vasquez can keep him into a game. I think Kevin Gausman is a pitcher who could figure it out whenever he wants, but what are you thinking about tonight?
Here's the thing. When your offense is struggling, anybody can get you. You know what I'm saying? The Padres have a lot of experience against Gausman. He pitched for San Francisco for, you know, multiple years. These guys have seen him, and that the fastball split combo, although I think initially gave a lot of the guys issues, became something that they started to hit pretty well. So you hope that they revert to what they did the last time I think they saw Gausman. I think they hit him up pretty good. And so if they can do that, we'll be having a different conversation tomorrow.
That would be great.
Actually, we won't be having any conversation tomorrow.
You're going to be on a plane. Braden and I are going to be out at Blood Drive tomorrow after the game, so we'll be talking all about what happened with the Padres in the last couple games. But, Tony, you got some stuff to do at the Rogers Center. We will talk to you on Friday before the game.
Yes,
before
sir.
Before they play
I'll
the Braves.
I'll be in the ATL at that point.
You'll be in the ATL. I love it. All right, when we get back, I am going to tell you about where Leo Dallas DeVries is now ranked in the ESPN Top 100 Prospects. Also, kind of look at the big boppers in the lineup is what I'm calling them. So when we get back, we'll talk about that on 97.3 The Fan.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in to Gwen and Chris. Gwen is getting ready for the game between the Padres and the Blue Jays tonight. Chris is taking some much-needed days off, and if you would like to watch us on YouTube, you can just search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube, and you'll be able to find the live broadcast. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Twitter as well, at Matt Scraby. And if you're watching the YouTube, yesterday I wore my Merrill Madness t-shirt because I was trying to, like, you know, put out some good vibes into the universe in order to get Jackson Merrill going, and that did not work. So today I'm wearing my Art the Clown t-shirt. Hopefully that is something that will turn it around. Now, if Art the Clown does turn it around, everybody must respect Art the Clown for being the guy who turns it around tonight, because the Padres, they need this win. I know they need every single win, but the Padres are, I don't like to see them go more than four or five games without a win, because every team throughout baseball is going to go through this. Even the teams that are good, even the teams that are going to go to the World Series, even the teams that are going to make the playoffs, they're all going to lose a bunch of games in a row. But it's all about how you rebound. So if you can rebound and erase that losing streak, then everything's all good. But I've seen a lot lately about how everyone wants Jason Hayward to be DFA'd, and they want a new left fielder. And I did a lot of stat looking through the four-game losing streak that they've had so far since Friday. The three against the Mariners and then the one against the Blue Jays last night. It's not Jason Hayward or left field right now. It's not. It's the meat of the order of the Padres that are not producing. So if you go to Friday, and I'm talking about the first four hitters of the lineup. If you go to Friday, the first four hitters of the Padres lineup went 4-for-16. You know, that can get it done. Didn't get it done on Friday night. Saturday, 3-for-15. That can also get it done on certain nights. Not on Saturday night. Now, Sunday, they went 2-for-14. They had a homer, an RBI, and that all came from the Fernando leadoff home run. But last night, the meat of the order, the first four players that go up to bat for the Padres, we're 3-for-16 with 4 Ks. So throughout the four-game losing streak, the 1-2-3-4 hitters are going 12-for-51, which is just a .235 batting average. So I understand why people want to change the left field position, and I do think at some point this is going to happen. I think it might be a little bit too early, though, because I don't know what kind of player they're going to be able to go out and replace the guys that they already have. Now, Jason Hayward not hitting is a problem, but I've said this before. His defense can make up for it. But when he's not in the lineup like he was not over the weekend, that's when I'm thinking, hey, there's got to be some sort of change. If you can't even use his defense at this point, then what is the point of having him take up a roster spot? And I don't think this is the same situation, but when the Padres had Matt Carpenter on this team, Matt Carpenter didn't play for weeks at a time. And it was just a spot on the roster that was being taken up by a guy who can play some positions, but he was not being used as a baseball player that was going to contribute to that team on a day-in and day-out basis. I think Jason Hayward has good enough defense that they can go without another left fielder for just a little bit longer. I think they will address the left field position. But again, we are kind of focusing, and I get caught up in this too. We're kind of just focusing on the wrong things. We're focusing on the players that are not being paid to carry this team at the plate. We're focusing on guys just because we see their numbers are bad, or whenever they come up, you don't have a good feeling about them getting on base. I understand all of that, but we're not, I don't think that we're putting the focus where it should be. And that's where the first four in the lineup are being paid. They're being paid to do what they should be doing and what they have been doing earlier in the year, which is get on base and drive in runs. And if we even take it a little bit further over the four-game losing streak, if we look at the big boppers, per se, as they say, I guess Chris might say big boppers, but Manny and Jackson Merrill, those are the two guys that you really need to help move this lineup along. And here are the stats for Manny Machado and Jackson Merrill over the last four games. On Friday against the Mariners, they went 0 for 8 with 3 strikeouts. Saturday, 1 for 8 with 3 strikeouts. Sunday, 0 for 6 with 2 walks and 2 strikeouts. Monday, 1 for 8 with 3 strikeouts last night. So that last four games for Manny and Jackson Merrill, 2 for 30 with 11 strikeouts and a couple walks. That's just not going to get it done. And so I wanted to kind of take away this on what's going on in left field and put the focus on the guys that are getting paid to be the guys to carry this lineup. And I know that they're going to turn it around. I have no doubts that these guys are going to turn it around. But 2 for 30 with 11 Ks throughout the last four games, that's not going to win you baseball games. I don't care if the bottom of your lineup is getting on base and they are doing things that is picking up the rest of the team. But when you have your stars not getting on base at all and striking out, empty at bats is what's going on. Again, 2 for 30 with 11 strikeouts. That, to me, is the biggest problem. And it's not, it has nothing to do with the bottom of the lineup. Now, with that said, does the bottom of the lineup need to contribute? Absolutely, the bottom of the lineup needs to contribute. But when we are focusing on them, the bottom of the lineup being them, when we're focusing on the bottom of the lineup winning games, we're looking in the wrong place. We need to be looking at the guys that are getting paid to do their jobs. And right now, they're not doing their jobs very well. Kevin Acey's newsletter is one of my favorite things in the world to read because he has so many good information. He has so many good little tidbits about things. But the Padres have gone at least 8 innings without scoring in 3 of their past 4 games after doing so just twice in their first 41 games. They were 0 for 3 with runners in scoring position last night, hitless in 24 at-bats in those sort of circumstances since the start of the Mariners series. They were batting .282 with runners in scoring position through 41 games. We know that they can hit with runners in scoring position. We've seen it happen. We've also seen the drought of this team not being able to hit with runners in scoring position. And it's a tough watch sometimes. But this is what a baseball season is about, and working with Chris and Tony over the years has really told me that I need to kind of temper expectations, especially in May, because we still have a long season to go. I mentioned some trade targets on Monday, and trade targets for left field on Monday. I don't think they're going to make a move in the trade department unless something presents itself. And when a team is slumping, everything looks worse. Everything. But when you have a performance like Dylan Cease, where he only gives up 3 runs, he basically threw 2 bad pitches yesterday. And that's what the major leagues is all about. When you are a major league team, you need to be able to overcome 2 bad pitches. And that's not what they've done recently. And Dylan Cease is not to blame for last night. Dylan Cease is someone who is pitching well right now. The offense isn't just, they're not picking him up. And so when we say as a whole, the Padres lineup as a whole, we got to look at where it's most important to be hitting, which is all over the place. And which is all over the place, obviously. But we need those top 4 guys to do something. And I'll even throw in Xander Bogaerts, because Xander Bogaerts is a guy who's being paid to produce. But I really don't want to wade into those waters today, because those are deep and murky and weird waters. But when we get back, let me start that over. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting excited about Xander Bogaerts and all this stuff. But when we get back, we're going to hear from manager Mike Schilt. He's going to answer some questions that we all have, and he's going to talk about certain things about the lineup that we have questions about. Also, I'm still going to talk about Leo Dallas DeVries being number 3 on the ESPN Top 100 prospects, and if we get to some of the other stuff, we can. There's a fun trade proposal for Paul Skeens, so we may get into that. But next, Mike Schilt talking about the lineup on 97.3 The Fan.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here, Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Thank you to everybody who let us know about the YouTube issues. We are trying to fix it right now, and we are doing our best. We got a couple moving pieces today, so bear with us as much as you can. All you need to know about the last segment is that it was one of the best segments of sports radio history. So you can take that and you can really imagine what that was all about. Now, really, what I just talked about was the meat of the order is what is the problem with this team. It's not Jason Hayward. It's not left field. But if you're in the chat, let us know if you can hear it, and we'll try to fix it going on. But I'm going to go forward with the rest of the show because Sam Levitt is coming up here shortly. He's going to be previewing the game two between the Padres and the Blue Jays. We got Randy Vasquez for the Padres. We got Kevin Gausman for the Blue Jays. Now, when I went to break, I was telling you that we are going to hear from the manager of the Padres because he just did his scrum there in Toronto. And he answered some of the questions that we have been asking here on the show so far. And so let's go and hear from Mike Schilt talking to the media before the game about sticking with the lineup and Tatis hitting leadoff.
Can you speak about the confidence you have in your lineup? You know, the guys that have produced and that the last few games haven't, but you keep going with those guys and that's who you believe in.
I mean, I actually get the privilege to look at the scoreboard now and it's like, wow, look at that lineup. That's a heck of a good lineup. Why would I not want to run it out there? So I can understand the question. I understand people's rightful looking at it and questioning of it, perhaps. I don't know. But I'm looking out there at All-Stars and World Series champions and maybe future Hall of Famers and All-Stars this year and guys that have helped us contribute to a lot of success short-term and longer-term. And I feel great about it.
Tatis in the leadoff spot, I just wonder, is it more important that the bottom of the order gets on base for him? Or no, that's just independent. That's where you like him in the spot. I wonder how much both of those play into.
Yeah, that's a great question because the thing about Tati, we have a fair amount of guys like that can hit anywhere in the lineup, which makes a good lineup, which what we have. Tati is unique for a lot of reasons. Just his skill set, just, you know, top of the league. But you look at it, and you know, rightfully you go, okay, can he hit leadoff? Clearly, he can do that. Is it important that the bottom of the lineup helps flip the lineup? I think that's important, whether Tati's leading off or, you know, Louis leading off or whoever. But I also know that he's a disruptor to start the game. He's also, as I've done this a while now, you start to think about, like, turning the lineup over. Who do you want to turn the lineup over to? Tati feels good. And either way, that's dumb. And if he's leading off, that means he's got the chance to hit more than anybody else in the game. So that feels pretty good, too. Would there be value in hitting second? Sure. You know, some of your best hitters, the philosophy is they hit second. Well, we have a three-time body check with hitting second. So what's your criteria best hitter? That's probably part of it. And then you kind of take it from there. But Tati could hit 1 through 5, you know, and have a rationale and feel great about all of it. But I think hitting first is a good spot for him, and he enjoys it. So that's part of the equation, too.
All right, that was Mike Schilt talking to the media before the game. And just so everyone knows, when Sam Levitt presents that audio during his show, everybody give him a round of applause. I just want him to know he's very special, that Sam Levitt. But, I mean, Mike Schilt is, By now, I think we know what Mike Schilt is going to say, and Mike Schilt is always going to stick up for his player. Mike Schilt is not going to entertain the quote-unquote fan point of view, which is just change everything up. But I have to think that inside the clubhouse, Mike Schilt sticking with his lineup and showing his players that he believes in them goes a really, really long way with the team. And we've already seen a couple times that Mike Schilt has put himself out there on the line for his players, and his players respond. I immediately go back to his ejection against the Yankees. Fernando gets ejected for the first time in his career. Mike Schilt comes out, glasses came off, and guess what? Padres made a huge comeback, and they win the game. So when you're listening to Mike Schilt, and sometimes when I'm listening to Mike Schilt as well, I kind of hear the coach speak, but I don't think there's any real way for him to go about this without saying what he says. And yes, this lineup is really, really, really good. And yes, this lineup can struggle. So over the baseball season, that's why baseball, and that's why I've come to love baseball, is that there's a sense of urgency, but there's really... it's a slower sense of urgency because there are so many games. We are May 21st. We still have over 100 games to go, so plenty can happen. And these slumps are just going to happen. It just is something that happens in baseball. And Toddy hitting leadoff. If Toddy wants to hit leadoff, let Toddy hit leadoff. Now, is there going to be a point in the season where they may have to move him because things just aren't going well? Yes, but if Toddy wants to hit leadoff, then I'm all for it. I want guys to be in positions that they want to be in, and he wants to be in the leadoff spot. And we've seen him hit some leadoff home runs. We've seen him get doubles from the leadoff spot. Now, when you have Luis Arraez immediately behind him, I do understand the concern and criticism for having him there because, as Chris says, he clogs up the bases. And so that's why you really don't have him leading off, because when he gets on base and, say, Toddy's hitting second and then he hits one into the gap, Luis Arraez might not be fast enough to get all the way around to home from first. So it might go from first to third. If there's any sort of change I would make... And I don't want to make a change, I would possibly move Jackson Merrill down to two. And then you could put Luis Arraez at the fourth spot, because if you go 1-2-3 in the first inning, then you still have Luis Arraez leading off the second inning. So I'm fine with that. But I still think that this team needs to allow all of the hitters to... What am I trying to say here? I think this team needs to leave it as it is right now, because it's just way too early to be making major changes. Major changes are not always a good thing. Major changes cause a lot of other things, and it causes a lot of other griefs around the team. But if, again, the theme of the show is the meat of the order, if they can't hit, you're not going to win games. It's just that simple. If they can't hit, you're not going to win games. So the Padres, they're going to get back on track. We all know this. We all know it. We all feel it. Does it stink right now to not have them winning? Yeah. But, you know, a couple times last year, they went into some tailspins. They made it out just fine. Same with Jackson Merrill. Jackson Merrill is a guy who has gone into some tailspins, and he has made it out just fine. In fact, in the next couple days, I'm going to go through some of the Jackson Merrill numbers. I did do this. Okay, so when he hit his first quote-unquote slump, Jackson Merrill, last year, he didn't have a hit in six straight games. So after that, he broke that with a hit against the Diamondbacks on May 3rd of last year. And then for the rest of May, he hit .293 with two homers, 10 RBIs, and three stolen bases, only 11 strikeouts and 82 at-bats. I also think we have to remember that Jackson Merrill is in his second year of professional baseball. And last year, and what we've seen so far this year, is I don't know that we can expect him to be that good all the time. He's kind of set the expectations way too high for himself. And he'll be the first one to tell you that he wants that. He wants the expectations high. But I have zero issues with Jackson Merrill. I have zero worries about Jackson Merrill. He's going to break out of it. But again, second year in baseball, coming off of a hamstring injury where he missed a ton of time, he's going to keep facing these things in his career. And we just have to be there behind him. Because I said this last year in spring training when I became the biggest Jackson Merrill fan of all time. If we're going to celebrate Jackson Merrill when he's great, we're going to have to support Jackson Merrill when he's struggling. And so right now, let's support Jackson Merrill while he's struggling. All right, we got just about 10 minutes or so left before Sammy Lev takes over and previews the game between the Padres and the Blue Jays. But I wanted to get into this because I get DMs like crazy about Leo DeVries and how he's ready to go right now. Let's get him up there. Let's put him in there for Xander Bogaerts. I don't think that he's going to be up this year. But Kylie McDaniel put out an article on ESPN, the top 100 prospects, and Leo Dallas DeVries came in at number 3, which I was, I guess, not surprised, but number 3 is high. I mean, he's just behind two guys that are major league ready. So if you're looking at it, if you're looking at it in this way, he could be major league ready because he's in the group of guys that are major league ready. But here's what Kylie McDaniel said about him. DeVries gets the edge among a group of three high-upside teenage shortstops appearing in a row. He has the best on-base and pull-lift skills of the three, while also being a switch hitter who is at least as good defensively at shortstop as the other two. DeVries has the tools to be above average at everything, with potential for... And Adam, I don't know if you had the same reaction when you read this part. With the potential for 25 to 30 home runs... That was like eye-popping to me because I didn't think maybe 15, 20, 25 to 30 home runs. El Mutante, I believe, is what they call him. He is, if he could do that, he's a perennial, he's a superstar in the making. Now, again, this is just Kylie McDaniel saying what he thinks can happen. And again, I still don't think we see DeVries this year, but he is really, 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 really making a push for the opening day roster next year. But on the other side of his hitting, you have to look at his fielding. And he is a good defensive shortstop. But I went to his MILB account today, and I was looking at his fielding statistics. And so far this year, in 113 total chances, he has 10 errors. He's got a 91% fielding percentage. It's not good. It's not good, and I'm not saying that he's not good. I'm just saying he's trying to learn how to play the position at a different level. He's only played at two levels. He played at A, I believe, in Lake Elsinore, and now he's at High A in Fort Wayne. I don't know that people understand how each level gets incrementally more difficult. Like, I'll use video games. You start at rookie level, and then you go to, like, veteran mode, and then you go to, like, hardened mode, and then you go to legend mode, which is the major league level. Each level gets more difficult. So why can we not just let Leo DeVries get through each level and see how he does at each level before thrusting him into the spotlight and being an everyday shortstop for the San Diego Padres at the age of 20? I just don't see that happening. But that's something I think that people don't really pay attention to, is the defensive side. Because I could totally see it right now. I could totally see it right now when he makes his major league debut and he kicks a couple balls and he has some errors. I thought this guy was good. He is good. He just needs time to develop. I guess this job has taught me one thing, and that is patience. And I work on my patience every single day. But it's hard to be patient unless it's a guy like Leo DeVries where you really need him to be ready to go before you pull him up to the major league level. Ethan Salas, on the other hand, he was in the, I think he was 25 in the ESPN Top 100 prospects. He's injured. He's out until June. They say June. He could be out longer. But from the people that I talk to, and yes, I do have sources within some sources, they're saying that he's a lot further away from the major league level than Leo DeVries is. Number one, Ethan Salas is struggling at the plate. He's not hitting very well. And number two, being a catcher is a totally different beast. So you could be Leo DeVries, and you could hit 25 to 30 home runs and play great defense at shortstop, or you could be Ethan Salas, who has to worry about managing the pitching staff, trying to make sure that he's not letting pass balls go by, trying to make sure that he's not costing the team games. And I think that he's just a little bit further out than Leo DeVries. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. We've heard a lot about Ethan Salas, but those two guys, I think, we need to be patient with. And having Kylie McDaniel, who is a very respected writer in ESPN and for prospects, having him put Leo Dallas DeVries at number three, big deal to me. Big deal. But just remember, as good as he is at hitting, he needs work on defense. All right, I'm going to fit this in because I really want to. I saw a fan actually on X yesterday quote tweeting a post from Major League Baseball. And the post had Paul Skeens in five different uniforms. And this fan made an absolutely fantastic point. He said, "What's the point of being excited about a player on my team if Major League Baseball is already assuming he's going to be on another team?" And that's a great point. Why is Major League Baseball trying already to get Paul Skeens off of the Pirates? I mean, you know, Major League Baseball, Pirates fans still pay money too. Pirates fans still want to have a good team. I don't think you could start doing these. You are basically telling these people they have no shot at having Paul Skeens on his team for the long term. And is that the truth? Probably. But that's more of, what is his name? Nutting? Bob Nutting. That's more of his problem. But I don't like that Major League Baseball, and this is not a Paul Skeens thing, because I know that people think that I hate Paul Skeens. I do not hate Paul Skeens. But I don't think it's a good look for Major League Baseball to be putting Paul Skeens in other uniforms before he's even at the point where he's hitting free agency. That's just not a good look for a league. That would be crazy to, I don't know, maybe this does happen in the NFL if it was like, I'm just making something up. Brock Purdy, where is he going to go? And then you put Brock Purdy in five different uniforms. If I'm a fan, I'm like, why are you already kicking my guy off the team? But anyway, Bleacher Report walk-off put a trade proposal for Paul Skeens together for basically every single team in baseball. Here is the trade proposal that Bleacher Report walk-off made for the Padres. San Diego Padres get Paul Skeens. Pirates get DeVries, Ethan Salas, and Cash Mayfield. My first thought to this is, okay, yes on Salas. I can deal with that. Yes on Mayfield, we don't really know what he's going to be. Heck no on Leo DeVries. Heck no. And now there's also other provisions to this. Is this the Paul Skeens that has signed a 10-year deal with the Padres and he's going to be here for a long time? Or is this the Paul Skeens that's going to be out after his service, or after he's allowed to hit free agency? Because that changes a lot for me. I don't know if it changes it for you, but it changes a ton for me. I'm not trading Leo Dallas DeVries for Paul Skeens if he's just going to be out of here in about 5 or 6 years. Just not going to happen. If we just got done talking about DeVries, we just got done talking about how people think he's a generational talent. There's no way I trade Leo Dallas DeVries. I keep going back between Leo Dallas and Leo. I'm going to go with Leo because I think he calls himself Leo. But there's no way I'm trading a generational player like Leo DeVries for Paul Skeens, who could be gone here in 5 years or so, 4 or 5 years. I'm just not doing it. And the reason I'm okay giving up Ethan Salas, catchers are unicorns, yes, but he's further off. And I don't really know what to expect from him over the next couple years other than just trying to get better. And Cash Mayfield, big-time prospect, the number three prospect for the Padres. I just don't know what he's going to do at the major league level. So I'm fine. Let's send him out there. Let's go. Everybody's available. Well, not everybody. DeVries is untouchable to me for right now.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.